Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a good and glorious God. We thank you that you sent Jesus, your King, and we ask as we look at his coming into Jerusalem now on a donkey, that you'll reveal to us the significance of this event, that we, like the people in the passage, might come after Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. Do people today want to come after Jesus? On the surface, it might look like maybe no, they don't. What we hear in the media is that instead of people turning to Jesus, people are turning away from him. Our census data indicates a rise in the number of Australians ticking no religion. In 2016, 30% of Australians ticked no religion. In 2021, 5 years later, 39% ticked this box. And at the same time, the number of Australians identifying as Christians is reducing. In 2016, 52% said yes, that they are Christian. In 2021, only 44% did. Maybe as well as the census statistics you've seen on social media, you've come across a high-profile Christian who has deconstructed their faith. It means that instead of turning to Jesus, they've actually turned away from him, an anti-conversion, where the person adopts the trends of the culture and gives up on Jesus. And then to add to this, if we just have a look around at our community, we see the number of new people turning to Jesus isn't very high. Our church attendance across Australia is not on the up, but on the down. Do people want to come to Jesus today? Is Jesus still attractive? What about you? Are you still drawn to Jesus? Maybe you're someone here this morning and you've been coming to church for a while, but the gleam of Jesus has rubbed off a little bit, like a drink bottle with lots of scratches. And Jesus doesn't excite you like he once did. You come, but maybe you have doubts and you're silently wondering, is Jesus really worth it? Well, if this is you, you've come to church today on the right day. Today's Palm Sunday, and we're looking at Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. And as we look closely at this part of the Bible, we're going to see that Jesus is far from irrelevant, far from outdated, but that he is in fact the King that is worthy of all of our worship. So please have your Bibles open to John chapter 12. And in John chapter 12, it's a few days after Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. An amazing miracle showing that Jesus has power over death. It's also the week before Jesus' death and the beginning of the Passover festival. Now, the Passover festival was a big deal. People would come from all over to Jerusalem to celebrate. And they had a feast. The feast was to remember God's salvation of God's people from Egypt. Josephus, the ancient historian, records at one Passover that 2.7 million people were in Jerusalem. Now, that's a large number, and even if that is a slight exaggeration, we get the picture, don't we? There are lots of people. The atmosphere is buzzing. And it means that the day that Jesus enters into Jerusalem is not an ordinary day. It'd be a bit like in tourist season, but just imagining every tourist that's ever visited Kununurra for the last couple of years rocking up on the same day. It would be intense. There'd be lots of people. That is the day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem. And meanwhile, this news of Jesus raising Lazarus is spreading. People are curious. They want to meet Lazarus. They want to meet Jesus. Expectation is in the air. Expectation about Jesus. What is Jesus going to do when he gets to Jerusalem? And so we see people. We see people come to meet Jesus. They come to meet him because of the sign of Lazarus. They come to meet him because Jesus is the King. And they come to meet him because people will not be stopped from coming to Jesus. So let's have a look at each of those in turn. First, People come to Jesus because of the sign. We read in verse 9, when a large crowd of Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came, not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. This news of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead is just spreading by word of mouth. The event is recorded for us in John chapter 11. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Jesus comes, speaks to Lazarus, says, come out. And he does. Out of the grave, Lazarus comes. That's pretty amazing. But they didn't have Facebook or Twitter back then. But people are talking about it. News is spreading. You can imagine the hairdresser conversation as everyone's getting ready for the festival. Did you hear about Lazarus? I heard he's coming to Jerusalem. We should go. Yeah, let's go ask him what it's like to be dead and then come back to life again. I heard Jesus is coming too. Yeah, let's go. And so the crowds come. The word is spreading. The people are believing the word about Jesus. But more than that, we see that they are believing in Jesus in verse 11. They're believing in the one with power over death. And today, no one has surpassed Jesus in his ability to be able to raise people from the dead. No one can do what Jesus can do. And what we see here is that people come because Jesus' sign of raising the dead to life is worth finding out more about. It's worth just pausing here for a moment just to say, don't underestimate the power of word of mouth when it comes to talking about Jesus. Telling your story of how you came to know Jesus is a very powerful tool. And that's what we see happen here in John chapter 12. People are talking about Jesus, people are coming to Jesus, and then people are believing in Jesus. And so as we talk about Jesus, all that he has done, and who he is, people will be attracted to him. That's why Hope 25 is such a good opportunity, because it creates a space for us to be able to talk about Jesus. We can unpause now. Not everyone is going to believe. People are coming to Jesus and Lazarus, but then in verse 10, we read that the chief priests, the chief religious leaders of the time, made plans to put Lazarus to death as well. Plans are already in play to try and kill Jesus, but Lazarus is proving to be an effective witness for Jesus just by the fact that, well, he's alive. And so they decide they need to get rid of him too. There's a regular joke at squash when you're being beaten, that is to suggest knocking the other player's knees out. Play dirty to win. Now that's squash, it's just a joke. No one actually seriously thinks about doing this. But it is exactly what the chief priests, the leaders of God's people here, are planning. Kill the witness to Jesus' glory. Play dirty. We need to silence them at any cost. There is a danger in witnessing to Jesus. We should not be surprised when we experience hostility when we share Jesus. And often the hostility will come from places we don't expect. I am sure that Lazarus would not have expected a plot to kill him to come from the religious leaders. That sounds a bit shocking, doesn't it? I would not be surprised if in the first part of next term, as we seek to run an outdoor evangelistic service, if we see some hostility. And that hostility might come from unexpected quarters. From people whom we might think should be supporting what we're doing. But even with hostility, the amazingness of Jesus will attract people to him as they hear about it from us. People will come to Jesus when they hear of the signs of what Jesus did do and still does in people's lives. Well, next we see people come to Jesus because he is the King. In verse 12, Jesus is attracting large crowds, scores of people coming out from Jerusalem to meet him, like they might meet an honored teacher or a visiting official. And this creates what we might consider today a bit of a quirky scene. It's strange. Imagine for a moment that during this election season, our local member or the Prime Minister came and visited Kununurra. Can anyone picture a crowd making sure that they are at the airport with front row spots to greet them as they get off the plane? Well, maybe you can. Maybe you can imagine that. But can you imagine then that crowd going with a bunch of palm branches, like this one, laying them down before the leader, singing their praises? And then can you imagine that the leader gets off the plane and jumps on a donkey and just kind of wanders down? It's a really strange scene. But that is exactly what happens here in John chapter 12. Verse 13. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." It is a strange scene. And it's easy to be like the disciples, I think, in verse 16, who at first did not understand. We can read this account and also not understand and miss the point about Jesus. But what we also see here is that there were two things that helped the disciples understand. And we see it in verse 16. It says, "But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and been done to him." So two things. Jesus was glorified. Jesus didn't only raise Lazarus to life. Jesus himself came back to life. And this knowledge is the key to actually understanding the full significance of what is happening here in John chapter 12. Jesus being raised from the dead and being glorified by God means that he is not someone to trifle with, but has immense power. He really is king. He really is Lord. He really does deserve our worship. He really did bring salvation to God's people. And when we know that and we see the people praising Jesus as he comes into Jerusalem, that makes all the more sense. But the second thing the disciples did was that they remembered what had been written. They understood what had been written about Jesus in the Bible. And there are three particular things that they remembered. There's the palm branches, for one. Our palm branches are associated with the temple, the place where God dwells. But they also, in the Bible, represent abundance and fruitfulness. And then to add to that, in a few hundred years before Jesus, they came to represent royalty. And so it's not an accident that palms are present. The people are recognizing that Jesus is royalty, a king, not any king, God's promised coming king who will bring salvation. The second thing they recognize from the scriptures is that the crowd sing Hosanna. Hosanna, which means give salvation now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, they sing. It's a reference to Psalm 118, which we had read out with our readings. And it's a psalm which talks about God's coming king. And by singing this song to Jesus, they are saying, "Jesus, we recognize that you are this king, that you will save your people." And that's what Jesus does, isn't it? As he dies on the cross for sin, so that all who believe in him can be saved. Thirdly, Jesus rides in on a donkey. It's a slightly odd picture until we read in the scriptures and realize that when King Solomon, King David's son, was enthroned as king, he rode King David's donkey into Jerusalem and then was enthroned as king over God's people. And then we read the scripture quoted in verse 15, "Fear not, daughter Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." This comes from Zechariah chapter 9. And it's written to Israel when they have no king, but promises that one day their king will come and come on a donkey. Jesus is the fulfillment of this passage. Now, I think even Jesus being on a donkey would have been strange for the people there who are singing these praises to Jesus. I think they would have been expecting God's king maybe to come on a war horse, rallying the troops, building an army to overthrow Rome. Instead, Jesus comes humbly on a donkey with no army, but in humility. And it'll make sense to everyone after the resurrection when Jesus is glorified. But it's clear as you read the scriptures and you read John chapter 12 that Jesus is fulfilling the role of God's promised coming king, bringing salvation to his people. And that the events of the next week, particularly his death and resurrection, are how he's going to bring that salvation about. And so we too today, we need to understand that Jesus is God's king who brings salvation and that we need to come to him. And actually, we can use the same two sources as the disciples used to understand this. We need to know that God has glorified Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for our sin, is risen from the dead, and this changes everything. Jesus is king over all, and in him and only in him is eternal life. And once we know this, once we know that Jesus is enthroned as king over all, we will be able to see the significance of Palm Sunday as well. And we too, like the crowds, will want to come to Jesus, the king who saves us from our sin and rebellion against God. Second, we need the scriptures. God's word in the Bible helps us to see Jesus more clearly, gives us confidence that Jesus is the king of all. Scripture is what we need just to be playing over in our heads on repeat. Because the Bible is God's spirit-breathed words to us, and the Bible testifies to Jesus. The Bible testifies to Jesus' glory, helps us to see that, yes, Jesus has been glorified. He is the King of all. And one of the reasons that Jesus might be losing that gleam of who he really is in your mind is that we've stopped remembering that he is Lord of all, and we've stopped listening to God in the Bible, but instead started listening to the world, started listening to those in our culture who are hostile to Jesus. When the media reports that Christianity is on the way out and we hear people give their reasons for why they don't believe it and think, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And then we don't go back to Scripture and see actually know that Jesus is the King. And it's sad actually that today many modern Western Christians minimize the role of the Bible in their lives, either by not reading it, by not valuing it, choosing to spend time listening to all sorts of other things, reading all sorts of other things, but not going back to God's word, the treasure of God's word. But we have a great privilege to be able to open up God's word. We have God's word available so freely to us, whether we've got copies at home. If you don't have a copy at home, I can help you with that. Whether it's on our electronic device, we have so much access to God's word. We have a real privilege. But often we ignore the treasure. But what happens if you open God's word and you don't understand it? Well, that's why it's great to be able to meet with other Christians. At church, we open God's word. We aim here at St. James, God willing, to preach in a way so that you can see where what we are saying comes out of God's word. That's why we encourage you to have your Bibles open. When you read something and you don't understand it, it's good to ask other Christians. And this is one of the real benefits of growth groups. At growth groups, we open the Bible together. We study the Bible. We hear what God is saying to us through his word. And so if you'd like to join a growth group and come get a bigger, clearer picture of Jesus, please come and chat with myself or Henry. Because when we get to know our Bibles better, the Holy Spirit that is in us because of our faith in Jesus will help us to see King Jesus more clearly, his glory more fully, the salvation that he offers us with more urgency, with more conviction. And so we need the same two resources that the disciples had to understand that Jesus is King. We need to know that he is Lord, he's been glorified, and we need the scriptures. The last thing we see here is that people cannot be stopped coming to Jesus. See, while the people were coming to Jesus, the crowd with Jesus when he raised Lazarus, they kept witnessing, kept sharing, kept that word of mouth about Jesus going, and Jesus kept drawing people to himself. People kept believing in him. And we see these exasperated leaders, the famous Pharisees. Verse 19, so the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." And who are they saying that to? They're saying it to each other. They're like, "Oh, what's the point? We can't stop this." It's one of these situations where God's enemies accurately predict the future. Jesus will not be stopped. Jesus will not be silenced. Not then. They couldn't silence Lazarus. They couldn't silence the witnesses to Jesus' miracle of him raising Lazarus. And they could not silence Jesus. Even though they killed him, he came back to life. And even as Jesus comes to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover feast, a crowd comes out of Jerusalem to welcome him, to praise him. And that is true today. There's a bit of a different story that our media does not want us to hear. And it's the story that Jesus' church is growing. And not just slowly, but actually that the church is thriving. It is thriving overseas. China sought to silence Jesus by casting out the Christian missionaries in 1949. Now there are estimated to be 100 million Christians in China. In our Anglican church, most members of our Anglican church across the world are actually in Africa, where the church is just going gangbusters. But even if we kind of come back to Australia and think about our own backyard, we're constantly hearing about how hostility to Christianity is growing. We're hearing this story of the decline of Christianity in the West. And there is truth to that. But that's not the whole story. Some recent research by McCrindle, what they did, they dug deeper into the census data. And what they found was is that of those people who marked in 2016 no religion, in 2021, 5 years later, one in 10 of those people who marked no religion then marked that they were Christian. The media doesn't report on that. And McCrindle then did further research and found that two-thirds of those who marked no religion in the census were warm and have a positive attitude towards Christianity. And they conclude, we have an opportunity to show Jesus' truth, beauty, and goodness to our world. And we do. And as we do that, people will come to Jesus. Jesus has not lost his relevance. He is still King and people are still coming to him. And why do people come to him? Well, he is the Lord over death. It's only in him that salvation can be found. Only in him can our deepest spiritual needs be met. God sent Jesus to die for your sin, to bring you to God. How good news is that? And those people who are moving away from Jesus, they're making an eternal mistake. We have the testimony of Jesus' resurrection, the testimony of scriptures. And so if you're thinking that Jesus has lost his gleam, think about why the people in John chapter 12 were coming to him. They were coming because only he can raise the dead. Because only he is the King who brings God's salvation. And this message that Jesus is King will not die. It will not go away. Because he is Lord of all for all eternity. And so the question left to us, if Jesus is this King, if people are coming to him, will you come? Will you recognize that he is Lord of all? Will you come to Jesus and praise him? Will you sing Hosanna? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Will you honor him? If Jesus was going to come down Coolabah Street, would you go out and get your palm branches and lay them down before him? Will you praise him in song? Will you praise him in prayer? Will you praise him by telling others about his glorious kingdom? And as we praise him, we'll also want to live with him as our King, as Lord of our life, Lord of our time, of our work, of our relationships, of our hopes, of our dreams and desires, Lord of all. And it all starts by believing in Jesus, God's King that brings salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for Jesus. He really is the blessed one, the King, the one who comes to bring your salvation. We thank you, Lord, for his death and for his resurrection, that you glorified him and raised him Lord of all. We thank you for giving us your word in the scriptures so that we can see Jesus more clearly. We can understand his lordship and his glory. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to be people who live with him as our King. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.